And I'm thinking, wow, how is it that we do not learn? So what we're going to do this morning is, I'm not in a hurry. I might do this morning and tonight. I might do it this morning and next Sunday night, or next Sunday morning. I can do this in an hour, but it won't do any good unless you actually grasp the ideas. Because frankly, taking notes, correcting my grammar, really won't help you learn, understand ideas. And charismaticism bothers some Christians and not others. The whole idea of charismaticism, now one of the big prophets, Ade is not here. Who is the big prophet? Well, there's four of them, but one of the big prophets from Nigeria, excuse me, false prophets, he prophesied that he saw in a vision the next president of the United States, and it was a she. Now, according to Deuteronomy, if you see a false vision, it's a death sentence. But one of the problems is, within charismaticism, people say this kind of foolishness on a regular basis. And by the way, I said this, I am assuming you know this, Benny Hinn, which is big in the United States and in some areas, he is not even in the top four richest pastors in the world. The top four are all in Nigeria. And it's not even remotely Christian, except by name. So I'm going to ask you a question. If somebody prophesied the next president of the United States with, saying God showed me in a vision, and it was a her, shouldn't there be repercussions, yes or no? But there will not be, because Christians don't grasp biblical teaching. Now, this is just one portion. I might pick up on charismaticism once we get done with this. I might pick up on that subject again, because I think it's an important subject. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let's stand so we can read them together. Everything we're going to say is going to be fixated on these two verses. The author of Hebrews, and we only are sure it's not Paul. From this text, it cannot be Paul. Now, you got to get the word cannot. It's not saying it is not, it cannot be Paul. Otherwise, you really have a problem with the text. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was, in this little line eliminates Paul, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Paul in Galatians 1 would never, ever allow anybody to say he learned the gospel from other people. You take that up with Paul, not with me. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. We have a passage that's in the middle of a lot of other things. We're not going to deal with the context. It's not going to be out of context. We're just going to deal with this author's statements about signs, wonders, miracles, and what that has and means for us. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessing now on this time. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I have a little chart in your notes, so let's look at, by the way, I'm not interested in you perfectly filling in the chart. What am I interested in? Actually understanding the ideas. Within broad evangelicalism, there are many positions on the subject of the miraculous. And it's a best way to call it is a continuum. And boy, I can't even draw a straight line. There is a continuum in here. On one extreme, see if I have, I'll get to the right page of my notes so I don't mess these up, are those who believe in signs and wonders. And I'm specifically referring to for today. They believe that God does signs and wonders for today. Kind of. And actually, I would say in some parts of the world, the most charismatic country on earth, anybody know what country it is? Guatemala, of all places. Guatemala is dominated by charismaticism. I'm talking about like three quarters of the people in the country. It's like craziness. By the way, everyone in this school, you might not think of them as Guatemalan. They're always charismatic. And they talk about miracles and signs and wonders. This is one view, signs and wonders for today. These people, I'm just going to say, in my view, they're open. And when I say open, I mean they're open to signs and wonders and of course, miracles too. I'll write miracles up here. They're open to that also. They're very open. On the other side, of course, there's a downside to all of this in the sense that they are this. Gullible. Now, for some people, being gullible is not a problem. Do you know what I mean by gullible? They believe anything. So when this guy, does anybody know who the prophet was in Nigeria that said this? Nobody knows. One of the big four. Linda, you remember the guy's names in Nigeria, those four? Or the two big charismatics? It's one of the two biggest ones. T.B. Joshua was the guy that said it. So you understand. He just said he saw in a vision, God showed him in a vision, the next president of the United States, and it was a woman. Now, according to Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18, if you see something that does not come to pass, you are eliminated. But my guess is he's still people thinking he's the greatest guy since sliced bread. This is one view. People tend to be very gullible. Do you understand by gullible? They just believe anything. Anything, everything, we believe it. Why, by the way, Guatemala? Because Catholicism tends to be in many places very much like charismaticism. I've read books on these saints, and I mean, it's like... So you have one extreme. Now you have the other extreme. You already know the other extreme, don't you? Most of us live there. No miracles. And by the way, friend, I'm being a little bit more specific when I say no miracles. It's almost as if they are a Christian who believes that God pretty much never does anything in our world. Now, before we go any farther, before I write anything else on the board, let's ask yourself a question. Yourself, where do you fit in so far? And be honest. Be honest. Where do you fit in so far? You don't normally expect God to do much. Yes or no? See, there's no need to go anyplace until you start, being honest with yourself. When's the last time you got alone with God and begged God to really do something? If you haven't, you live here. You live in the no miracle spot. Because, you cannot say what you believe. Belief is illustrated or demonstrated in how we live. And most of us live as if God cannot do anything in this world. Yes or no? Sadly true, at least for some of us that are honest enough to say so. So this view would be this. They're closed. They're closed to anything that's miraculous, just closed, as opposed to open. And obviously, they would not be gullible. They're never going to be fooled because they don't believe God does anything. Now, before we go any farther, why would some of us tend to be here? Raise your hand and tell me why you would tend to be here, Mike. Yeah, in reaction to this, good, very good. What else? So I don't know where to write this at. I'm going to write this here. So science, at least if you hold to naturalistic uniformity, where there's nothing outside of what we have, God can't intervene because if there is a God, he's inside too. So science, Mike, you said what? Oh, in reaction. So some of you believe in miracles now. Yes. So all of you, just so you know, I don't know why people think I'm so cruel. I am not a Cubs fan, but when the Cardinals could not back into the playoffs, I rooted for the Cubbies. I will admit, when it was 3-1 and they were down 3-1, I thought, here we go again. But, so by the way, at least two miracles happened when I was gone. At least two. What else? What other reason, by the way? Forget being religious and pious. I actually think the most important one you haven't told us yet. Jim.
You got to get your eyes off yourself.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
I think something happened, so you don't know, say like you maybe prayed for something and then it didn't go that way. So like,
yeah, get past your religion. Drop your religion right now. Talk to my wife. She begged God to heal her father at age 9 years old, and her dad died of cancer. So let's not play religious games. Kids, I would think God would hear them more than you or me. And my wife watched her dad die of cancer. Now, I'm not saying she doesn't believe God can intervene. I'm just, we're getting down to where people live. You have begged God for God to do something, and he does nothing. Yes? Sir Walter.
In our experience, God normally uses secondary means, not primary means. Where your primary means God intervening, oftentimes the laws which are above the laws.
Well, there's no question, even when God does a miracle, in some ways he usually uses secondary causes and means. Normally uses... Yes, Mike. Yes, and by the way, I'm not going to preach or re-preach sermons, but when I preach sermons on one of the best sermons I preach out of the Gospel of Mark, on Mark chapter 5, on God saying no, you better have this down into your soul. When I told you to go to Mark 5, you can preach the sermon back to me, because some of us just don't hear truth. So, Mike, what happened, I think, actually, I would tell you right up front, most people I have seen that have lost the faith because something like this happened. I work with a guy right down here at Great Lakes. Actually, not at Great Lakes. He had retired. He was a Navy chief. We worked down at, where did we work together? Lake Forest Hospital together. And this guy flat out told me, he says, my mother, he was a black guy, he says, my mother was a church woman. That's what they call him in the black culture. And he says, I saw my mother die of cancer, bone cancer. And he said, if there's a God, he's a mighty cruel God. So let's, you know, we put this stuff up here. This is a reason some of us don't think well. And the reason we don't is we want to get stuff over with. And then all of a sudden when the crisis comes our direction, we don't have answers for anything. Yes?
I remember a number of years back, our church was praying for a little boy named, I think his name was Jacob. His parents, I think, fell prey to people on this side, taking advantage of them because they were so desperate.
Actually, I would tell you this. When you go into the crisis, you probably swing from here to lunacy. You know, you're going to Mexico for special treatments. How many of you, some of you actually prayed, and maybe many of you prayed for Samwise Ganji. Now, I will tell you, the last week of his life, forgive me, I knew I'd never prayed 1 minute for him to get healed. When he went into that coma, I knew God was saying, that's it. Before that, I assumed God was going to heal him. So may I say this from Frenchie back here. Frenchie's, he's over here. Now, hold it. Some of you think I'm picking on him. He's where probably 75% of the people in this room are. They're really not convinced God ever does anything. You do realize that. If you believe something differently, when you ran into a crisis, you'd be begging God to intervene. Do we want to go over here? Do we want to be here? This is insanity, Mike. Well, I agree with you. I think that's biblical. But it still didn't answer the question, why not? Hey, didn't we pray as a church for Lourdes Velez? How's Lourdes Velez doing? Tim, did you have something? Why do we assume they're going to get better? Everybody, why do we assume they're going to get better? Don't lie to yourself. Don't do religion. Why do you assume it? Well, but we also assume modern medicine.
And so yes. Practically speaking, we don't pray because we're just assuming they're going to get better, they're going to heal, they're going to recover, whatever. But then when it gets really bad, we don't pray because we're assuming it. They're not going to get better.
So in both cases, we kind of leave it out. Yeah, I think he's given personal testimony. That's what I personally think. The only way he could know that is pray. By the way, folks, how do you learn this stuff? Do you know the reason I asked you these questions? Because I catch myself doing the very thing you're talking about. Oh, she had surgery. Okay, I prayed for her to have surgery, but I'm not praying today for 2 hours because, right? Brother Mike. Sure.
Along with maybe a absolutely.
Ralph, did you have a question or a thought, my friend? You look like you're having intelligent thoughts going through your brain. Actually, folks, I think your paradigm is more important than anything I'm going to teach you. Until you understand who you are right now, and don't kid yourself. And many of us tend to flow over here, we just do, for various reasons. Maybe it's our science background, though in most cases that's not the issue. Most of us, just what Tim said, hey, they either get better because of medicine or they're not getting better, so one's God's will and one's not God's will, unless it comes into our life. It's a little easier to pray when it's you or your spouse or your child, yes? I hope it is. Let me ask you a question. What passage in the Bible would give you more than one example of bad things happening to the people of God? It actually is a whole chapter that talks about a lot of good and then some bad. Whole chapter on faith. Where would that be? Let's look at Hebrews 11. I think that might be a good place to start. Hebrews 11. Now, obviously, Hebrews 11 is trying to demonstrate a big idea. So it's trying to demonstrate the believers who not only get saved through faith, but continue faith, that whole idea of following and obeying the Lord. So there's as many of these passages. Look at starting in verse 7, by faith Noah. And then verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned. So you go down this long list. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them. Even in this passage, they didn't receive everything. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. By the way, my biggest problem as a pastor, I had to come to the place where I could accept that it would be all right if someone died. Because you come to church, and this is not anything negative about you, but as a pastor, the church kind of, I stand in a different relationship to the church than you do. When I walked in this morning, my first thought was about two or three families, and I was going to ask people if they have been here, but I already knew if I asked people, they wouldn't know. And it's not because you're bad, it's because I relate to the church differently than you do. So if someone dies in the church, it affects you, but I'm in a different relationship. I had a hard time accepting that people die. Still not over it. Well, I don't want to read this whole chapter. Look, if you would, down to verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. But then there were those others. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So, folks, I mean, in one chapter, you see what God can do, but also what God does do at times. And both groups of people were following the Lord, obeying the Lord. Some of them were delivered, and some of them were cut in two. Folks, you've got to start kind of there as your basis of the Christian faith. Because if you come to faith in Christ thinking, God is always going to feather my nest, what happens when your nest doesn't get feathered? And let me say this. If you live long enough, there's going to be some times in your life when the feathers are removed. They just are. I think this is very helpful for me to think about personally. I would say science is a big piece. Mike, I would say in reaction is a huge piece. And for me, you pray often enough and God doesn't intervene, and after a point, what? You just quit this. Yes, sir.
I think reading about it this morning when Elisha healed the woman's son, she had witnessed a miracle before that. And when her son died, she was essentially that Elijah, it's his fault. He's not really a man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who knows? Who knows? Yes. What I'm going to put on the board is the third piece of this puzzle. Now, this is the way I look at things. Not everyone would agree with me. I would hold, and it's closer to this side, by the way, something to the effect that I believe in the miraculous or miracles, but no signs and no wonders. And we're going to get to why that is. By the way, folks, you know, this is not something that I pulled out of the sock someplace. There are reasons I do not believe that signs and wonders, and you mentioned Elijah. The very last point in this Sunday school, Sunday night, wherever I'm going to do it, we're going to talk about there were periods, there were a lot of miracles. And then there were periods that didn't seem to be very many miracles in the Bible. The greatest man who ever lived performed no miracles. Who was that? John the Baptist. There were periods where it didn't seem like God was doing that, and there are reasons for that, I believe, very specific reasons. I would say, the way I view things, miracles, yes. No signs and no wonders. Which leaves me, from my perspective, open. Meaning I am open to what God wants to do and what God can do, which allows me to continue to pray. I'm not going to tell you that I pray. Unfortunately, Pastor Kowak, confessing his sin, confessed mine at the same time. Because most of us, that's actually where we live. Somebody goes in to see the doctor. They have major surgery. We know modern medicine in America, don't we? Here's the problem. How many people live in America compared to the rest of the world? Every time I go to a third world country, I think, what if I got sick here? What if I needed treatment? I think that we can be open to God working in our midst, answering prayer, and meaning God could work miraculously without getting into signs and wonders which have different purposes, but it also would leave us, hopefully, not gullible. So we don't buy into, Daniel, what's the guy's name again? If you listen to T.B. Joshua, you can get him on the internet, folks. You don't have to pray about it. I would recommend that you watch him. I always recommend that you quit, stop being a deadhead. Get him on the internet. Watch and see what he says. And you're going to see it's real simple. Give me money, and this is going to happen. If you have enough faith and blah. And there's always, and by the way, the whole miracle is dependent on you. You have to have enough faith. You got to give him enough money. See if you'd have given him more money. It's Catholicism in a nutshell. I'm not picking on Catholics, but if you understand anything about the Reformation, it was all how much money you could put into the coffer, and if you put enough money in, then your salvation was free. It's just like, yes, indulgences. That's exactly what it is, Ralph. And it's that form of, and if you don't get healed, it's always your problem. Sin, not enough faith, not giving enough. By the way, that's very gullible. I believe we can be Christians, please look at me, who are truly open. But you're not open because I write the word on the board. You're open because of what you do. Do you really pray and beg God to intervene in people's lives? Do we have anybody in this church that needs God's intervention? This last week, Tim, you texted me. I couldn't believe when you texted me. There's a family that's been in this church for the last year and a half. They've come irregularly, year and a half. Her name was Paula. Anybody know who she was? Married to the black gentleman. Got a daughter, Bianca, which is married to, is his name Romel? Well, Paula died. Died from cancer. Now, it doesn't bother us because, let's be real, we didn't know him that well. But let me say something. I don't think we ever want to get into the place where we're over here, closed, and the only thing we're interested in is our TV and our food and our pleasures. And by the way, folks, you don't. This is the way you know. It's what you're talking about, thinking about. So this is kind of an introduction. I think it's an important introduction to the whole subject. If you want to be a secessionist, and I am, I do not believe in the miraculous like happened in the book of Acts. I wish I could. It just doesn't happen. This is going to leave you a very gullible person, and it's always going to come down to money, money, and more money, and more money, and more money. Every country in Africa around Nigeria, even over to the East Coast, is influenced by the same group of guys, and it's always about money. And these are people that have nothing. They bring all their money for healing. It's terrible. Well, let's look in your notes. We'll at least get point number one done. Any questions, comments? Mike, go ahead.
One category of miracles, but no signs of wonder.
miraculous.
But we're not really looking for the sign for it, or, you know, depending on our life isn't looking for that miracle. But when it happens, we certainly are willing to accept it and give God the glory.
And I think it's very appropriate for asking God to intervene in some fashion in our existence. Yes. Let's be real. The Cubs is pretty close. It's pretty close. Let's look at Acts chapter 19. Would you look there, please? Now, you know, I have done this before. I probably should do it again. Like I said, I have learned that I have taught too much, and sometimes I teach too quickly, and I have people that smile and nod, and 30 seconds later didn't even know we talked about this subject. By the way, folks, what happened in the book of Acts? You can talk about T.B. Joshua. You can talk about charismatics. None of them do these kind of things. Look at me in the eyes. Because none of the things done in the book of Acts are in the Gospels. Look at me. None of them were done in religious places. These were done out in public. And by the way, if you want to go heal somebody, there's hospitals on every street corner. Go for it. Why has there got to be money involved? Answer the question. Because it's false. It's a lie. Let me ask you another question. Why does there have to be music involved? I guess Paul brought his band with him, right? In the light show and dim the lights, and you could, you know, do this for 45 minutes so you felt like you're healing. What? That's baloney, folks. Compare the miracles that happened here with what it just doesn't happen. Acts 19 is one of these passages. It says, and God wrought in, you know, special kind of means what it means. Special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I mean, this is not some kind of religious place. Look at Acts chapter 5, please. Acts chapter 5. It says in Acts 5 and verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles, and we're going to get to that in a little bit later too, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. By the way, they weren't even in a building. There were no church buildings. Solomon's porch was part of the temple. They were in a public, look at me, public space where people gathered, public space. And God did miraculous things. It says, and of the rest, no one dared join himself to them. But the people magnified them, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, inasmuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. I mean, this is in the streets. So just take yourself over to a busy street and think this is where people got healed. That the least shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, I know they do this stuff, but I always wonder, look at me, hey, I always wonder, why do Christians never think? There was no music. There was no dimming of lights. It was outside. There was no, ooh, in the name of Jesus. That's all foolishness talk. God did things in amazing ways. By the way, and you're going to find when you read the Bible, that happens in exactly three places. Can anybody name the three times? Jesus and the apostles. Give me the other ones. Moses and Elijah and Elisha, which were times of giving of revelation. You never find this kind of special attention to miracles except in those three occasions. And that's just factual, folks. Doesn't mean God can't do miracles. I'm talking about this signs and wonders time. We'll look at that a little later. Let's go in your notes. We'll get down to the first point this morning. the early church era, obviously, and Frenchie was very good, and he's going to actually learn something this today besides of punctuation. It should be experienced with a D for all of you that are very interested in trivia. The early church obviously experienced not only miracles, but also signs and wonders. So what exactly does the scripture teach? The most important thing, and this is, you got to start here. Signs and wonders were always, at any time, then, now, any time, by God's, what's that next word? Do you understand what sovereign means? This is not Ron Alexander. I'm going to pick on Ron because I know Ron and his dynamic with his daughter. His daughter has a stronger will than he had when she was young. And if she wanted something, she could force him sooner or later to do what she wanted. You say, how do you know? Because I got one of those too. You got it? Sovereign will means God's will is the final word. Hello? God did these always by his sovereign will. Meaning that's the final word. No more discussion. You know, when you have an argument with somebody, the person that wins usually has the strongest will. Well, I got news for you. Who has the strongest will? There's only one, and it's not us. Let's look in your notes. Hebrews chapter 2. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers or different miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his what? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifting that God gives people. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally or distinctly as he will. But we have a hard time accepting that, that God gives some things to one person and not to another. He gives abilities to one person, he doesn't do it to another. It's just God's sovereign will. Verse 18, but now hath God set, God made this distinction, and I didn't underline the second part. The members, everyone in the body, as it has what? What's this part? As it pleased him. And friend, there just comes a time when you realize the Lord does things as pleases him. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. God did this himself in his own way, his own will. Verse 28. And God set some in the church. It's kind of obvious, seems to me. Obviously, Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, we are to pray after addressing God as our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, meaning our first prayer request is for his name to be honored, set apart, not dragged through the common mud of this world. Thy kingdom come, and then it says, thy will be done. We don't pray for our will to be done in heaven. This is a Warren Wiersbe. We don't pray for our will to be done in heaven, but for God's will to be done on earth. I think that's pretty good. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The great text, actually I think I preached on this the week I left here, from Mark. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So this text clearly teaches us some basic concepts. First of all, God has a will. God has a will. Next, God's will is determinative. Or God's will, you can say it a different way, same statement, God's will decides. Let me ask a question. Linda, your children, if Poochie Lips wants something, who does she go to, you or Ade? Who? Because she can manipulate him. All right, now let's turn the tables around. What about Junior? What if he wants something? He comes to Mom. It seems like that's a family trait. It works in my family that way. John never came to me, but... Oh, Amy. Yes. By the way, do you recognize that God actually has a will? Look up here, that might not be your will. And whatever happens on this earth is going to happen according to His will. That's hard for many people to accept. I would say it's the most important place to start, but I think Ralph mentioned God, our understanding of God. I think, Ralph, sometimes our understanding of God is God. We don't really understand God as having a sovereign will. We think He wants what we want. I don't know. So when you were praying for the Cubs to win?
Yeah, I wasn't praying.
Oh, come on. You were hoping. That's what you call it, hoping. Had you given up hope?
The way they had played earlier in the playoffs, no. They put a couple of them out. About the eighth inning of the last game.
Yes.
See, and I wasn't able to watch the game. I only heard the first pitch of the last game. The first pitch was a home run by a Cubs player. Well, that was the first guy. Got a home run, and I'm thinking, Cubs are going to smoke. And then I heard this game went on forever and ever. But you were praying. Quit lying. All right. So God has a will. God's will is determinative, or God's will decides. Believers pray for God's will to be done, or for God's will to be accomplished. And friend, I think part of our problem is, I don't know about you, but when I was in Bible college, nobody ever taught us how to pray properly. I got the books in my office. You can have all of them for free. How to get your prayers answered. That's how I was trained. Arminians teach how to get the five steps to getting your prayers answered. Here's how to get your prayers answered. Begin with God's will. You want God's will to be done, not your will to be done. That doesn't mean you don't ask for your needs, but start with God's will. That's not the way I was trained. Of course, but it still comes back to that, yes. In your notes, believers submit to God's will. Now, Tim, does that mean we submit sometimes too early? Let's ask a serious question. Is this where we come over to this, Tim? Meaning, person, we prayed for so-and-so for 3 whole minutes and didn't happen and we just give up? By the way, the hardest question you're going to have to deal with is, when do you stop praying for someone? Well, I'm assuming there's a never if they die. Tim. No, I think we give up way too quick. Ralph. We talk ourselves out of it, don't we? Yeah, here you go. See, I confess my sin, but some of you don't want to. I have confessed that I quit praying for her mom. It's just like, I think many of us do that. I think submission to God's will is important. By the way, friend, when someone dies, probably you can quit praying for them. All right, let's finish this little section out if we can. Tonight, I think I'm going to finish this sermon, so you'll need to be back. In your notes, this was true even in the first century. That is very important to understand. Why is that important? Because I believe there's a distinction between today and the first century. I believe the apostles have a role that I don't have. In case you don't know, I don't write any of the Bible. They had a role that's unique to them, but even then, when God did something miraculous, it was still by His sovereign will, anytime, then or now. So, God's will determined all, then and now. Always the case. God's will determined all, then and now. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Ephesians 3:11 says, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I believe I'm going to finish this tonight, so let's stand and we'll pray together, please. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you that we can discuss some things honestly this morning. I believe very seriously, too, because this impinges right where we live very quickly. Help us this morning to learn some things, to put into practice on this matter of prayer even. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.